Good afternoon, everyone. It is 6:03, and we will call the meeting to order. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And it's so nice standing here while we're saying the pledge, reading all these lovely messages here.
Drink more water.
Drink more water
And
and
eat
eat
your
your
vegetables.
vegetables.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like,
Love that. And be nice.
I like that we
both of
make
those
mistakes,
goals.
just happy little accidents.
Be
Bob Ross.
nice. Gotta love that.
I had a few extra cups of coffee today. That counts as extra water, right?
It does. On like Weight Watchers, it does. As long as you don't pile up the sugar and stuff. Okay. Public comments. We did receive one public comment. Valerie, I think you, is Valerie on?
Not that I've seen.
Do you have the email that she forwarded? Because
Hold
I
on a
just
second.
emailed mine. And it was a request. It was a request about fifth grade, some
A field trip.
projects, a field trip, and a
He
cap
wants
and
to come
gown.
see the cap and gown.
So
It was from
we'll
Heather.
be
The letter.
responding.
You want me to read it?
Is it from Heather Cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just
The
read it out loud
letter
and then
from
we'll
Heather
move
Cloud,
on.
VP of Global Sales. Dear Valerie, I was wondering why the fifth grade Washington, D.C. trip was canceled. Could someone speak to that? Is it such a memorable trip for our students? Also, could someone address the no cap and gown for the fifth graders as well? The current fourth, fifth, and sixth graders really got the brunt of their elementary experience canceled because these were the first K, first, and second graders during COVID. I feel like everything keeps getting canceled for them. Best regards, Heather Cloud. I believe this has been forwarded over to middle school for reply, and they'll get back to them one-on-one.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments at this time? I'll give you a couple minutes to raise your hand. And with again with public comments, you have the opportunity to make a statement. We will not respond to that statement. It's just a statement. If it does need to be addressed, we will make sure that the appropriate parties do respond to you. And you have 3 minutes to make a request. Any hands?
No hands.
Any hands? Okay, well, at this time, I would like to introduce Pam White. Thank you. Who is a an exchange parent, part of the American ex the Exchange Student Program, and she is the parent, the exchange program parent of Katerina Benz. And Pam has something that she wanted to present.
Yes, thank you. I am actually an Odyssey parent
Yes.
as well. My son Ruben is in the senior class this year. He's going to be graduating. He's been here since first grade.
Wow.
Wow.
So
That's awesome.
but yeah, so first and foremost, I'm an Odyssey mom, but I'm also an exchange mom. I also volunteer for AFS, which was the folders that I handed out. AFS does for international exchange programs for high school students, but they also manage State Department sponsored programs. So this our State Department has three different government sponsored programs where we have exchanges with many different countries, Germany being the oldest. They have a 40-year program where 200 German students come over every year, 250 US students go to Germany, fully funded by both the US and the German government. So it's all merit-based. These are the best of the best. These are really amazing kids, and they have great opportunities where they get to come and live with an American family. They get to attend an American school. They spend this year, Katerina was able to spend a week in Washington, D.C., where they had a civic education workshop where they got to meet with our local representatives. It's a really amazing opportunity. And I do have, I have a little, I don't have, unfortunately, I don't have enough to share for all the folders, but just to give some information there about the scholarship. As part of it, the Department of State to recognize the contributions that Odyssey has given, being able to, allow Katarina to come here and attend Odyssey. They have something that they call a medallion program. And Odyssey is now considered, because Katarina came here, they're now considered a Department of State USA medallion school. And this is the actual certificate of appreciation from the United States Department of State. And this was, unfortunately, Katarina can't be here today. She is on her way back from the last soccer game of the season for the girls team.
Very good.
Awesome.
Best record in program history.
So unfortunately, I didn't realize it was a win game. I was hoping she would be here to actually tell her story, but she has had an amazing year. She has really enjoyed, she loves sports. She played volleyball. She did cheer. She's on the soccer team. She's a student aide for the second grade. She is learning Spanish. She's doing so much. And it's refreshing to see our school system through the eyes of another student as well, because she loves school lunch. She loves the school bus. She loves everything that Odyssey's been able to provide. And I really, thank you for that. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that Odyssey did receive this national award. And I think I saw Ms. Gibson on there. We'll have to schedule some time so that she can actually give her the certificate in person. But this medallion is also, free for Odyssey to use now in any of their communications, in a newsletter. If you want to print any type of material, you are now officially considered a USA Medallion School in the Department of State. So.
Thank you very much for hosting her.
Yeah. As I said, I'm a volunteer for AFS. My son was also an exchange student for the same program last year. I also was 30 years ago. It's an amazing program. If anyone has any questions, as I said, there are other State Department sponsored programs. It goes both ways. I would love to have our students go abroad as well. So if anyone, information in the folder, if anyone has any questions or would like to host, know someone who even might be thinking about it, we'll be here. Katarina will also be we'll be at the barbecue as well. I'd like to meet her in person. So I welcome any questions or to discuss it further. It's an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her more about her experience here and how she felt being a foreign student in a strange country, how she was received, mm-hmm. How different it was from her education that she received.
Very different. But it's sad because we can't, it's getting down to the last month, and it's like we don't want to talk about it because there are years coming to an end. She's very sad to be going, but she loves all her teachers so much. It's so different from the teachers in Germany, where she really enjoys just the engagement with them and just how friendly everyone is. Absolutely, she would love to talk to them.
So do you think she'll come back here to the university?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Very much, yes. As we were touring this year for my son, she in her mind is thinking, yeah, that's where I'm going.
And what grade is she in?
She's in 10th grade this year. German school's going to 13.
Oh, wow.
So she still has a little while longer to go. But, if she stays here and graduates here, she's here, but her mom isn't going for that.
That's kind of tough.
Yeah,
that's a tough thing to let go. I'm surprised she would want to do that. But,
she absolutely loves it.
Wow. That's refreshing, and that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure we'll see what we can do about this program. So,
it's really great.
This is so far.
And Odyssey has been hosted or welcomed to, they weren't State Department students, but they were two exchange students last year, also through AFS. Really, really welcoming and helpful and really appreciated.
And what's the difference between a State Department program and not?
Privately funded, so parents will pay for their students. Okay. I mean, it's still through AFS, it's matched through AFS, but these are the actual merit scholarship parents.
So this means that they have been screened and they know, yes. You know what their qualifications are, you know what their grades are. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Anyone have any questions for Ms. White?
No, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, it's heartwarming. It makes you feel good. Do you want a cookie?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And okay, the minutes, everyone received a copy of the minutes. We all reviewed them. Does anyone have any corrections or changes? Any corrections or additions or changes? Any corrections or additions? Hearing none?
I move we approve the minutes for the April 17th meeting as presented.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh. Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we're going to have an abridged head of school report.
Yes, I'm going to allow the principals, please, to announce some award winners for us. And then we will go to some really, really quick general highlights. I think, Adrian, you had a couple?
Yes, I do. Give me one second. So our kiddos just returned back from BPA for their national competition. They did not bring home first, second, or third, but it was a huge accomplishment for them to have even made it to nationals in Chicago. And from all the pictures I got back, they had a great time. And it was really an incredible experience for them. We also have students that are going to compete for National History Day. So this is basically a year-long research project that they've been working on. And it's for grades 6 through 12, and it's usually related to a theme. This year's theme was Turning Points in History. We have 7 students that have been invited to the national competition for this. We have Olivia Audi, which her research paper was how the Salem witch trials influenced the American legal system. We have Arsal Awan and Loyal Williams, who did a group exhibit on the Black Death. We have Connie Durakanan, who did an individual exhibit on the creation of Barbie. We have Ayande Poe, did an individual documentary on how sound changed animation. And Aubrey Henning and Madeline Fox did a group exhibit on women playing baseball during World War II. They will have an opportunity to defend their projects in front of a panel of judges and compete against approximately 3,000 students from across the United States. So we are very excited for them and wish them the best. It's also important to note that even though she did not earn an invitation to compete in nationals, Janya Sivakumar won the World History Special Award from the History Department of the University of Delaware and a $100 cash prize while competing at the Delaware NHD contest for her individual exhibit, The Lithuania Sunk.
That's awesome.
So we are extremely proud of our middle school students.
If you could email me the names and topics, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, it's in the head of school report. So if you guys have that,
good enough. Not, yep.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's right there. It's in that section for the building level update. So just a couple organizational pieces here. In the report, we have the OCS Family Barbecue coming up on May 29th. There are over 1,000 RSVPs for that event.
Wow.
So it's going to be a huge event, and we're definitely starting to pick up a lot of steam on cultural activities here at Odyssey Charter School. They're becoming quite the events in these recent times, which is great. Also want to let everybody know that the standard-based testing, the SBAC, is complete. And we'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who worked very, very hard to make sure that the testing went well, but also thank our community and the parents for making sure that they got their kids prepared for these exams and heeded our advice to get them to bed earlier and get them off as soon as they needed a little bit. And try their best. We do know anecdotally, because the history results, you can kind of see how many you got right away. We can see that Odyssey improved tremendously last year. So there was definitely a mindset shift that we saw in the students. And so there was definitely a different approach that we see across the board in terms of what the significance is of the testing. You know, that's very heartwarming to see across the board. So we expect to see, when we finalize the results, we expect to see more good news coming in from that department as well. Graduations are coming up now, so that's another important one. The high school graduation is on June 1st. Right. I always
June 1st.
June 1st.
Is that Friday?
No, that's a Saturday.
Oh, I
know. May 31st is a Friday.
At 2 p.m.
And at the Grand Opera House in Wilmington.
Yes. And then we have the fifth grade graduation is on June 4th at 6:15 p.m. at the John Dickinson School. And then we also have, when's the kindergarten one? I don't see that one on here. Is it in a different area?
Kindergarten should be
June 3rd. The day before ours. Yep, on June 3rd, 5:30 to 6:30. Okay. Also, John Dickinson.
At John Dickinson, yes. And then the eighth grade
is June 4th, from 4:30 to 5:30.
Right, and then that's the same day as the other one, right?
As the intermediate school, it'll be middle school, and then followed by intermediate school.
So those are high leverage events that are happening right now, and I know that we're prepared for that, and we're well on our way to getting that particular component done as well. So exciting for that, and the barbecue, and now we're
a couple of award winners too. If I can share those.
So go ahead.
Okay. So we wanted to give a congratulations to our current senior class president, Mia Carini, who recently competed in the Miss Delaware Teen Pageant and placed fourth. We are also proud to announce that our high school National History Day team won first place at the state level competition this year in our first year of competition. 11th graders Shea Babiak, Sydney Fowser, and Ayanna Murray had a group exhibit called Over the Rainbow, which focused on how the Stonewall Riots were a turning point for positive queer representation in movies, writing, and assembly. They will go on to compete at Nationals in June as well in Maryland. We had a successful showing at the BPA National Competition in Chicago over the past week, with many of our students making the national finals, and anecdotally, one of our students placed fifth in the nation, which is really exciting. I have a whole list of high school events that you can see in there. And then our last thing that we wanted to shout out was congratulations to all of our new Cohort 3 Odyssey Honors Academy members. They received their admissions decisions this week. And so we're really excited to have them join us at the high school next year.
Anyone have any questions for, I didn't ask about Adrian, but I'm sure would have jumped in if you had any. Any for Ashley? Wonderful, great. Way to throw it in. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
And that's where we're going to stop, because we have some discussion items to go to next.
Do you want to take a picture with the, and I don't know if you want to stay through the whole meeting or not, or?
No.
Why don't we take a picture, Leah, with her, with the thing, and then we'll, I don't know if you want to post or anything. Or,
sure. This way, we'll let her move on.
Got it.
Thank you so much. We'll hold on to that. I will. I'm gonna
yeah, I'll make sure that she gets it. Yeah, she'll hand it on to us. Thank you so much. And yeah, let me know. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Yes,
I would love to meet her.
Okay. All right. Okay, so do we want to move on to our act items, our approvals? Mm-hmm. Okay, so do we want to read about them first, or do we all know what we're approving? We've all reviewed the dress code, the volunteer hours for the family volunteer hours, and the cell phone policies. Is there any discussion from anyone about any of those items that we've presented? Any discussion? Any discussion?
The last two times we talked about it, socks were talked about an awful lot. Have we?
The socks?
Have we?
Or did you say socks?
Socks.
Okay. I according to my notes, in the end, we decided solid color only, no patterns or design.
That is okay. We spent a lot of time talking about socks, but I want to make sure that we were solved there.
Yeah.
Socked out.
And the policies have been kicking around in public long enough that we haven't really had anyone raise their hand to in public comments or anything.
Any feedback or anything from the community?
No, there's mostly excitement about getting rid of the cell phones. And you see it on a national level, on the news almost every day. Another school taking cell phones out of it. Mm-hmm. There's new research that just came out again to support it again as the single largest contributing factor to depression in students these days.
Dad, can you send us what you're like, how you wrote it up? I don't know.
We did.
And so it will be part of the code of conduct.
Okay.
And when they release the code of conduct, there'll be a highlighted page of significant changes, and it'll be mentioned there. It'll be covered in the back to school. It'll be covered in the open house.
Signed.
And everybody has to sign and acknowledge that they got it. But we're not just slipping it past them. They're putting it at the front page. And this is because I listened to the meetings twice. They're very clear about making sure that these changes are highlighted at the beginning. Having finalized the policies, once they do, it'll run it past legal, make sure we're not missing anything or overarching. And then the code of conduct will come to us for final approval well before the August start of the school year when they do all this stuff. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I move we accept and forward the policy changes as presented previously for the uniform policy, the cell phone policy, the family, Philoptimo. Yeah, I still put that P in there. I'm sorry. And the other one.
That's it, right? Just those three.
That's three. Yeah. As presented to be added to the code of conduct.
I second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. It'll be an interesting year. Exciting year.
It's going to be an exciting year.
Exciting. Another exciting year.
We're going to talk to each other.
I love that. Interact. Face to face.
Thankfully, we haven't quite gotten into, my kids haven't quite gotten to the point where they're asking for cell phones yet. But this is going to make it so much easier to say no should the conversation come up again because, well, you're not around anybody
with
cell phones. So what do you need one for? It's going to make it easier. Well, keep it easy.
It's not going to be easy.
No. I'm. Let me have the false hope for just a little bit.
A couple months.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Okay.
No out of state travel this late in the year, is there?
Is there any out of state travel? I don't think there's anything. We're not going.
Anything that hasn't already been approved.
Okay.
There will be. Sorry. There will be National History Day.
Well, that's the new one. Yeah, the ones that are that just one.
Okay. What's that?
National History Day competition is in Maryland. It starts on June 9th. I believe that's the Sunday, correct, Adrian? And goes to the 14th?
Yes. And we also, middle school has they want to reward the BPA students for making it to nationals. And they want to take them to I wrote it down there. It's some fun park in Mount Laurel, New Jersey on May 22nd.
I
22nd. Let me check and see if it, where it is. Is it written at the bottom?
Yes, it's the last one to be approved. Funplex, yeah, I believe is the name.
Funplex at Mount Laurel, New Jersey on May 22nd. And the fifth grade is going to the Franklin Institute, but I think we approved that already.
I motion we approve the out-of-state travel for the two trips just mentioned.
A second.
Thank you, Aaron.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried. Have a wonderful time. It's all about the end of the year trips. Hey, Dr.
Ioana. Καλησπέρα. Καλησπέρα σε όλους.
Καλησπέρα.
So I have just a few items, not too many tonight. I will start with Ellinomathia exam. It happens maybe not now. It ended. Next to you, it's building 20. We started yesterday. Odyssey Charter School is an official testing center, so we don't test only our own students, our Odyssey students, but we are a testing center for the whole community, for the larger area. And we have candidates this year, more than 110, I think that's the number. Odyssey hours, but also students from the larger area, PA and New Jersey. And I would like to give again every year a shout out to Kiriakula Miha, who for her really hard work for coordinate this event, the exams. The other thing is that we held the monthly immersion meeting on May 1st, and we discussed mainly items at first about the end of the year. We have been invited a few days ago to attend by the Biden School. You know that we have now an MOU with them, so they invited us to an event that happens at the end of the month. It's called Media and Democracy Summit, and there will be many guest speakers from Greece and the Stavros Niarchos Foundation there, along scholars and professors from here, from the States. So we will have a group of middle schoolers and high schoolers attend the event, as long as testing allows, because it's a testing day for us for eighth grade, and not only we have finals that day, but we'll have a nice group attending the event.
What day was that?
It's March 30th, the day that we will go.
May 30th.
The last one is the convention that I will go. It's in Boston. You have approved that already. I'm flying on the 30th, so I'm not going to be at the summit. I will be in Boston, and I'm presenting on the 1st. My topic is the role of Greek American schools in the United States and Odyssey Charter School as a study case, because we are famous now. So our model works really well, and I'm going to present it in Boston at the end of the month. And that's all.
Wonderful, thanks.
Still busy. Well, enjoy your trip to Boston.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Mr. Cost.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There's two items for action here that I'm going to quickly present, as I know we have some contractors on the call that I know I don't want to keep all night. The first of which is the monthly web report. I'm having PowerPoint malfunction, so I'm going to just kind of roll through it with it pictured. So this is for April 30th, 2024, which represents 10 months or 83% of the fiscal year. Revenues collected to date are $48 million, which represent 104.6% of the total preliminary budget revenues for the year. Revenues received in April, we had the final Zion proceeds to offset the additional debt costs for this year load come in. We also had a significant transportation accounts receivable receipt of over $85,000 last month to bring us closer up to date there. On the expense side, expenses to date are $34.1 million, which represents about 88% of the budget. Overall, as I mentioned previously, and I'll talk about a little bit in the final budget piece, educational services and substitute services expenses were trending higher than the initial budget, which were then offset by some decreases on the salary lines. The annual appeal, health and wellness fair, and athletics golf outing fundraiser are still underway. I believe we are sold out for foursomes in the golf outing, but we still have availability for different levels of sponsorships and volunteers for the event. The K-5 summer camp information has been sent out to the community, and right now we're looking to boost the number of registered campers to make sure we can sustain the camp operations for this summer. To date, $1.77 million of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.72. And as I've mentioned, the preliminary FY25 budget will be proposed at June meeting. On the capital side, we're going to talk about the turf field project update in just a minute. The Building 27 design contractor, DCI, has completed their walkthrough and of the building and the area, and the contracting is nearing finalization, with the programming meeting being scheduled probably for next week. The high school front entrance project is now completed. Interior enclosure construction is being completed this week, with the elevator installation now just to follow. So again, hopefully we're riding elevators within the next month. Any questions on the April monthly web report?
Any questions? Entertain a motion.
I move we accept the April web report as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carried.
All right. Thank you. The second item is a formality that we go through on an annual basis, is to finalize the final budget for FY24. So I'm going to share that and talk through that really quick too. So generally speaking, most of these changes I allude to within the monthly web reports on a monthly basis, and this just kind of formalizes it. So now those percentages that we look at get updated. The amounts become realized as actual budgeted, and as we approach the last two monthly web reports for this fiscal year, it's more of a year-to-date actual. So on the revenue side, the enrollment, as we know, for FY 2024 was 2,192 students as of September 30th, 2024, which is what our revenue is based on. On the state operation side, state operating funds increased $600,000 from the preliminary budget due to increased CTE minutes and increased anticipated unit allocations. Overall, state revenues are $750,000 higher than the preliminary budget. On the transportation side, we did adjust contractor revenue down about $200,000 based on decreased number of routes provided to outside agencies and schools from some of our staffing outages that we were focusing on internal coverage for. On the local district transfers, we adjusted revenue up $870,000 from the preliminary budget in aggregate. The projected local funding increased on a per pupil basis by approximately 12%. The preliminary budget assumed a projected increase of 5%. In addition, we began to receive interest payments that were minimally included in the prelim budget. On the Zion's proceed sides, we are showing a $1.9 million received as a result of the bond refinance with EFF to offset the additional costs of paying an annual debt service payment and additional monthly payments to EFF beginning in November. So this is kind of a one-year weird situation for that. Going forward, it'll just be the regular monthly debt service payments that we would expect. On the capital campaign side, we now include $500,000 from YAS to support the Building Number 27 project, and we adjusted down camp revenue by about $85,000 based on the initial registration numbers. On the expenditure side, in school operations, temporary employment services increased by $770,000. This portion of the expense is by far the largest variance from the prelim budget. As mentioned during the monthly report update, some positions have been covered by substitutes during the school year. In addition, substitutes were utilized to fill academic vacancies to start the year, as well as staff mid-year departures. This has also been recognized by the operation departments as substitutes to help support in facilities, transportation, and food services as well. This offset of salaries is pretty close to equivalent. We saw our legal costs increase by about $60,000. Medical services have increased by $275,000 to meet the demand for our contracted services for speech, psych, OT, and PT. And on the equipment side, we increased $810,000, primarily due to the carryover of the expansion grant capital projects, elevator and front entrance, as well as the turf field project not being included in the prelim budget. The last item on the expense side, on the facility side, building maintenance has increased to $145,000 to cover minor maintenance items that have been taking place starting from last summer, which included the cost of the emergency power outage last June of 2023. Overall, the ending cash balance before spending any of the state-required contingency would be $7.7 million. This budget represents a net income deficit of $245,000 on a cash basis and a $138,000 decrease of deficit from the preliminary budget, which is a difference of 0.36%. So we were pretty close on this. As a reminder from the prelim budget, the net income amount being negative was planned as the school spends its front-loaded federal grant funding over the three-year span of the grant. Our days of cash on hand stayed the same from the prelim budget and the final budget, which is approximately 71 days. And the debt coverage ratio increased from 1.09 to 1.17 to meet our covenants. That pretty much covers all of the FY24 final budget. Any questions on that? I know it's a lot at once, but overarching theme is from a bottom line standpoint, not a lot is changing. And again, we kind of talk through most of this as we progress throughout the year.
Any questions? Any questions?
Just a quick question. Mm-hmm. Could you remind us why we have the $3.2 million increase in total expenditures for the year? Just roughly where that.
Sure.
I know we approved, you know, during the year, but a lot was approved in projects.
A big part of that, probably about $2 million or so of that is additional debt service that we're paying as a part of the bond refinance, which was offset by the collapse of our repair and replace fund and any deferred interest as part of the bond deal. And the other piece is about 800 or so thousand of building improvements that weren't budgeted in the prelim budget because they were assumed to be completed at the end of last fiscal year, which they were not. So we carried over the offsetting revenue and the expense to complete this fiscal year. So that covers the majority of it. And then the rest is just a little bit of operational needs as the year progressed. Yeah.
Anyone else? Do I hear a motion to approve?
I move we approve the preliminary budget as presented.
I second.
Final budget.
Pardon me.
Next month.
Yeah, we'll get that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you all.
Let's move on to, let's move on to the turf project. We'll start with that report.
So I don't know. So the turf committee met last week and had a pretty in-depth progress update meeting, majority of which was discussed about the schedule moving forward and some challenges regarding the design for stormwater mitigation aspect of the project. I don't know, Ken or Anna Maria, if you guys had anything from your perspective and the stakeholders there, but I think we do have, we have Mike Swan and Ryan Flanagan, sort of the lead, some of the lead team at SEG available for questions and to talk through some of it. But the main crux is that due to the topography of the site, which is unknown at the time of bid because of the design build aspect of the project, the amount of stormwater that needs to be mitigated in that area is significantly larger than initially budgeted or projected, to the tune of probably about 750,000. So the aspect for obviously informational purposes as well to the board, we're also looking for the administration seeking approval from the board to negotiate an adjustment of the capital fund from EFF to help cover the cost, the increased cost of the project to continue to stay on schedule.
So if I could explain in layman's terms, and please, engineers, catch, correct me if I'm wrong. So when we put out the bid, it was the same bid to everybody, and everybody came back with bids on the fields, all contingent on an actual survey. So no one came out and spent their own money surveying our field. So what we have is about a 6-foot difference between one end and the other, which is pretty significant. And the way you have to manage stormwater in Newcastle County is you have to retain enough stormwater for 48 hours after the storm. Normally, if the pitch isn't bad, you can do that with adding extra gravel under the artificial grass, and the water just sits there like a still pond underneath the surface. But you can't put 6 feet of gravel under one end and nothing under the other. So what we have to do at the low end is put engineering baffles underneath the field. Think of it as a little maze that'll hold the water for 2 days. So the water flows into the entire field space, and then it's going to naturally flow to that end where it needs to be retained. So it'll stay there for 48 hours before draining. And nobody foresaw that because nobody came out to survey. And Newark Charter School, which did a similar project, got hit with the same surprise line item too. So it's regretfully one of those things where we can't do anything about.
And the survey isn't something that you anticipate doing before you when you get bids. So it's not something
in a design build, correct?
You don't do that. So it's nothing that we could have planned to include to get in estimates and see where we stood on that. So
one of those typical situations of you don't know until you get in there.
And the survey options would be each of the individual contractors would want their own survey team to come out and do it, or we would have to pay to have a survey team come out and do it.
We never had a survey there. It doesn't exist.
Correct.
In the county records.
No.
Well, there is a master record plan there, but I don't think it details, because in that record plan, that isn't a turf field. It's grass. Well, it was grass after the building was demolished, and a new record plan was done.
Okay.
I believe that included buildings 26 and 27 as academic buildings. But once you go to turf field, that is treated as 100% impervious, like a parking lot, essentially. So to that level, no. As it stood as a grass field, yes. So that's kind of the main difference. And the fact that we're expanding the grass field into parking lot areas now, which is one of the main drivers for the topographical change. I've stood out there and looked, and, you know, it's, for those listening on radio, it doesn't mean much. But if you look at the lower school from standing at the parking lot of the intermediate school, if I were to go down the hill there, you wouldn't be able to see me standing anymore. I mean, it's that drastic. And so it's one of those things that the cost was likely going to be incurred at, no matter what, if we wanted to do that project in this capacity.
And that estimate of 750,000 to take care of that infrastructure, is that from the contractors that won the bid for the field?
Yes.
Okay. And we're required by contract to go with that bid
It would be part of the installation of the field itself. It's under the field, so it's not really a separate install. And all the other bids submitted had contingencies based on stormwater and water retention, that kind of thing. So everybody had the same get out.
So it would be treated as a change order to the initial contract.
I understand that. I'm just wondering whether we have any way of knowing if 700,000 is a reasonable estimate for that work. That's my question. haven't checked
elsewhere. So that's part of, at this point, we don't have, I don't think, an official, and again, Mike and Ryan, you can correct me, I don't think we have an official change order for this. I think what we know is that in order to get the permit from Newcastle County, it had to be included in the design. So it's forthcoming, and in anticipating that, that's why we're seeking the solution from a financial standpoint ahead of time. But at the point of the actual change order, I'm sure Mike and Ryan would be able to provide more information about basically what you're getting for that dollar amount and, you know, the market competitive aspect of it.
Yeah, we can provide detailed backup with that for sure.
And this was the same cost that Newark Charter experienced.
It's listening to the cost of Newark Charter.
And if you guys can see my screen right now, am I still sharing?
Not yet.
Mike. No, we didn't see you sharing at all.
There you go. Can you see that?
Nope.
No? Nope. Sorry, I usually use Teams.
You should say the
same. Oh, here you go.
You're coming up.
There.
There you go.
There it is. This gives a pretty good visual of what we have to do. We're essentially creating a bathtub in the lowest section of the field to retain that water that Ken had mentioned. This area gets filled with 400 chambers that are, they'll be beneath the turf, an average of 7 feet deep. And they're large circular chambers, similar to like a storm pipe. And the idea is that they're void space, and they're able to retain that volume of water required by the county.
They don't require any maintenance in 10 years, do they?
No, they will have viewports. And Ryan could probably speak to that a little better than I. He's our on-staff engineer.
Yeah, so they will have inspection reports, and the county will require some kind of maintenance and inspection. There's usually some kind of like a maintenance agreement that'll have to be signed with the county that, you know, the school will take responsibility of that. But especially the fact that they're under a synthetic turf field and that there's no runoff coming from parking lots, grass areas, open grates, we don't envision these, you know, needing very much maintenance at all. There shouldn't be any debris. Like, it should be very, very clean.
Okay. Yeah, the turf field would act like a giant filter.
Essentially, yep.
This field's red.
No sprinklers.
And so, again, as a part of this request, you know, what are we offsetting by doing this? And part of the capital fund initial breakdown included capital maintenance to the tune of about $1 million that would address some of our assets as they come close to the end of their useful life, two of which were roofs and then paving around the campus. So what we're proposing is that, and you know, what we've seen, we've been fortunate since, you know, the one time we came to talk about roofing, we have spent over the last fiscal year about $12,000 to $15,000 on roof repair, which in the grand scheme of the maintenance budget is actually pretty insignificant. And we haven't had any catastrophic type of issues that would impact the operations of the school. So,
but you know, what is the longevity of the repairs that we've made? Like, in 3 to 5 years, we're asking to push things off for like 3 to 5 years. How are we going to be able to do that?
Right. So that's part of the, you know, the exercise that we're going through, but we feel like yes. And our facilities team and our roof contractor feels like yes. At the same time, from my perspective and for the financial aspect of the school, I'm going to try to work it through the operating budget before then. We're not waiting 5 years. That maybe it's not the FY25 budget per se, but maybe the FY26, as we continue our enrollment growth, that we can have an injection of $250,000 for a new roof and include $100,000 or so on an annual basis to get parking, paving, We do know that the worst parking areas on campus, the active campus, are being mitigated by the turf field itself. But we understand it's not necessarily a challenge that's going away, but one that this pool of funding, we're going to try to come up with alternatives for. And we haven't had this conversation with EFF yet. I do feel that
what does EFF, what's that process and what do we have to do with EFF?
Starts with a conversation. They'll probably require some of the documents that we're provided from our contractor on updates on the project. We've already provided them with the Osprize piece and how that'll help offset costs of the project on the Building 27 side of the capital fund. And we'll continue to work with them as we move through other infusions of capital for those projects, i.e. philanthropic assets such as Longwood and stuff like that. So I do feel like they have, some reason to be flexible with us on this, as, you know, what we've been very clear about from the start is how significant this specific project is for the overall sustainability of the organization moving forward. And so that kind of speaks to a lot of that. We feel like we have a good relationship with EFF and don't anticipate any issues, but also didn't want to have those negotiations without board of directors lesson.
Well, the other question I think was about placement. I don't know if we're still talking about this whole process, was where we'll be placing the playground area.
So yeah, that was going to be part two of this, to request approval from the board to move the urban farm out of the courtyard area between the middle and intermediate school. And I've got some talking points for that, as well as utilize the safe and secure space for a play space moving forward, an enhanced play space moving forward for the students of the intermediate school, as well as having access to the now $6 million turf field option for play as well, which was part of the whole purpose of the community aspect of the turf field, was besides sports, everyone can use it. So, I don't know if we want to talk that through.
Well, the first part, anybody have any questions for Jeff or for any of our contractors about the storm, all this stuff?
I have a couple questions on it. You mentioned that this system, essentially a reservoir for runoff water, gets held for 48 hours after a rainstorm. What happens to it after that? Does it get pumped out somewhere?
You essentially create such something that it'll be a trickle effect, so that the amount of impact to the major systems is mitigated tremendously by having these chambers and then slow flowing it out. That's essentially what this does.
Yeah, just to be a little more specific. So like what needs to be held back for 48 hours is actually the first inch of rainfall. So that's what gets held back for 48 hours. That's for your water quality standards. Anything above that 1 inch, you just have to maintain your runoff controls. So basically that means that your stormwater runoff in the proposed condition cannot be greater than what it was in the existing condition. So as Elias pointed out, it holds your water back and in theory will help your downstream services as well.
What's the total volume that this thing could hold?
These chambers hold, I think it's about 60,000 cubic feet of water.
And if we had a 1 inch rainfall, how much of it gets filled up?
So the chambers, that size isn't just for the 1 inch. That size is also for your runoff controls. So as, storm keeps coming, they fill up higher and then they get released at a certain rate. So that's what your ultimate volume is required for. But the 48 hours is just for that first 1 inch. But that's only fills them up about, we'll say, halfway.
Now, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong. The whole system for the field eventually ties into the current stormwater system that we have on campus.
That's correct.
Okay.
Did you say 60,000 cubic feet?
I did. It may be cubic yards. I'm trying to think.
it's cubic feet, right?
Okay, yeah. Yep.
So 500,000 gallons.
It's a lot of water.
Does New York Charter School have the same volume requirement for that amount of money? Exactly the same?
Pretty much the exact same
thing. I think they said they were utilizing 300 to 400 of the chambers that were being proposed to do as part of our design.
And the most recent submission had 400 chambers, but I believe with reducing the excess turf area, we're going to be able to reduce that by about 40 chambers. Is that correct, Ryan? We should be closer to 360 chambers now?
That's correct, based on off my conversations with our local design engineer.
One thing, it looks like the TV is going to turn off in about 10 seconds. It's an automatic turn off at 7. So final question, just on the topic of thinking creatively, does that water have to go down a storm drain, or can it be used to offset other water needs of the school? So other sprinkler systems. Of course, after a huge rainfall, you probably don't need to run the sprinklers for a couple of days, but there's toilets that get flushed. There's other water needs, and not necessarily, I don't think you'd want to use that for potable water, but could you conserve any of that, use it for any of the facilities to offset the amount of water that we're using from Artesian or wherever else we're getting it from?
City of Wilmington. I don't know, Ryan.
Simple answer is yes, it could be done. You know, you could basically have a cistern, but then you're talking about a much more complicated design. You're adding a pump, so you're going to need a pump house somewhere, and the cost of the pump, I don't know if it would outweigh what you're paying for your current water. And to be bluntly honest, it's project wouldn't be getting done this year.
Yeah. Well, it was worth the ask.
No, I mean, it's a good thought for sure.
You're a green screen.
Right, we are. Any other questions about this portion? Your motion?
I move we approve the
capital fund restructure.
We authorize you guys to restructure the capitalization from maintenance into the additional needs of the fields project.
The negotiation of,
is that right?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Negotiating the restructuring.
Okay. Yeah, that. I'll write it immediately when I typed them in.
Second. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I haven't really been asked about any abstentions. Okay, motion carried.
Painful price tag, but the cost of not putting in the fields is significantly higher than that. It's definitely going to be a showpiece.
Thank you, Brian and Mike. I appreciate.
Thanks for coming on.
The information here tonight and for the committee.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you all.
Sure. Yep. No, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Second motion to move the urban garden to behind the high school
and the goats, the animals,
behind the high school to better utilize the space over there, and then develop the intermediate school space into play space for the intermediate school.
Yes.
You want to make your pitch first?
Well, that was the motion.
Disagree. The motion was.
Sure. I could say that we analyzed a lot of different areas of the campus and kind of felt that based on the success we're seeing down at the lower school model for play space in the courtyard area. We know that it can work. We also know that there currently is, this space does get used as a play space currently, but there's definitely currently mitigating factors for it being ideal, i.e. the number of mounds and trees and an urban farm, which takes up probably 30% of the area that the kids can utilize. So we would utilize the same type of clear out of the area, which we've had confirmed could take place. The one potential challenge was the height of the skywalk between the intermediate and the middle school, but it's high enough that we can get heavy machinery in there. And SCG has already confirmed that they don't see any issues with moving the playground equipment that's currently adjacent to building 20 into the space. They also have committed to other enhancements to the area that, you know, as the turf project proceeds, we may be able to see some of the fruits of in that area. And what we do know is the main question is what's best for kids. And we know it's a very safe and secure area compared to either A, what's occurring now on the blacktop in adjacent to the field, and what takes place at other schools and districts. So, you know, we've heard multiple feedback about the, you know, the turf field committee ultimately recommended this as the best option because they felt from a safety perspective, it was a huge upgrade. You know, feedback we've had from other stakeholders is, you know, concern about distractions or things like that from what's going on inside the classroom. Which, you know, we've heard and received. We've talked to our landscaping contractor about providing some landscape buffer between the classroom windows and the play area, and with a small garden fence. So students wouldn't be able to walk up to the windows and knock on them, but if a ball does go in there, they can pull it out without really any issues. So
right now you're going to gut that whole area, or you're going to keep the current trees that are in there?
A mostly gut.
Yeah.
So all those great trees that are there now are going to come out. That was part of the, some people had asked me about that.
Those great trees are dangerous to kids, just like we saw when we observed them playing. And they're on mounds and they're tripping and they're hanging on tree lines out there. Those trees are not. Even the way it's used right now is not properly being used and supervised. So like we did in the lower school, you create a nice flat space over there. You put the right kind of surface on the top and create a safe, large environment for students to have the type of play area that's conducive to their age as well, which includes having being able to throw a football or kick a soccer ball and stuff like that. Those are all things that they're going to be able to do as a result of having a nice flat and safe open facility like that with a kind of fenced in area, the way that it's being proposed. As it is right now, it's a misutilized space, quite frankly.
And for every tree we rip up, we'll plant a couple more.
When you see the design of the field project itself, all the natural landscape around it is adding quite a significant aesthetic piece in terms of all of those components as well. And yes, the objective would be to be able to add more trees in that capacity, but the objective is also to create safe spaces for our kids, and spaces that make sense for us. And it's clearly, this is a way to have an enclosed space where you can supervise kids properly, we can pitch it properly, we can put age-appropriate equipment in it, all of those things that are going into the planning process right now that currently are not in place, and they haven't been in place at the school. You know, running around on asphalt that's got big potholes in it that we have to patch up every month and stuff like that, obviously it makes it a lot harder. Supervising kids that are moving into the corners is much more difficult. And again, to Jeff's point, we also have an entire $6 million stadium that kids are going to be able to play in as well. So you're not looking at having all of the kids in this one spot, but rather, you can do, I don't know if they're going to do a rotating schedule where they're in one day they're there, one day they're over here or what have you, but it creates a much more conducive space for them as well.
And the purpose of moving the urban, the farm, was because it was easier for them to maintain over there. That was their
request. Makes sense with the whole program is over there, right? So you have all of your bio gardens over there, and then you have the hydroponic systems over there and stuff like that. And so the whole kind of K-12 system green initiative is over there anyway.
Larger area where it's going, and in its current spot, there was significant drainage need.
Yeah.
You go out there right now, it's basically a big puddle. And where we're heading to has, because we know the topography of the land here, it is sloped. So there's some natural drainage that'll take place. And we've already identified some cost efficient enhancements for the animals to have. And the PTO is also supporting some of that efforts as well. And so I know that, you know, talking to some of the directors of the urban farm program from an academic standpoint, they're pretty jazzed up about the idea of moving across the street.
Anyone have any questions?
Just comment. I would certainly hope that we can at least save one or two of the trees. There is a big mature tree near them, the chicken coop, that I don't think it bothers the students. I don't think it's a danger to anyone. I mean, that courtyard has been a little oasis for all of us. Sometimes we go out for lunch. I would hate to see it flattened completely. I understand that it has to be functional for the kids. My concern, though, is how are we planning to mitigate the noise that is, the recess there is going to generate for the surrounded classrooms?
Well, we've observed that same environment in the lower school, and it does not seem to be a large contributing factor, number one. And number two, the other mitigation component is the fact that you're not going to have all of the kids in this space at once. And currently, you already have kids out there playing. And if it's not a distraction now, I don't see how it would become all of a sudden a distraction beginning next year when we're already doing that. There are kids out there every single day.
We usually take one class at a time, which is 25 kids. And I personally, when I take a class there, I have to warn them, not balls against the windows, don't be too loud, and all that stuff. I cannot imagine four classes, like 100 students. Let's keep in mind that the fifth graders are much bigger than the little kids. Can we use the turf daily?
Yeah, you can use the turf daily, absolutely. That's the whole point, is that for it to be a community resource. So that would be the objective. But at the same time, when we were out there, I've observed it three times. I've seen 60 kids out there at least three times when I've observed it. It has not been 25 kids.
Right. I'm not going to disagree, but the fifth grade recess is 100 kids at a time, almost 95 and 95. I think there are very many kids for that area to play safely and not to bother the surrounded classes.
I think there still will be some oversight aspect from, you know, the supervisors of recess too.
There's that piece, but there's also another component that we also know. If we all recall, after COVID, we had the entire middle school out there and nobody complained about the noise then. We had the entire middle school out there for lunch. Hundreds of kids. Nobody complained about it then. So, like I said, there's nothing that we're doing now that is that falls out of the range of what we've been doing before. And it wasn't a large distraction before, so I don't anticipate. Remember when we had the big tent over here? We had all those kids out here.
Could one of the possibilities putting like noise reduction windows around those classrooms in that area?
I don't know. Maybe. I wouldn't want to spend the money if we don't need to, though.
Yeah, well, I'd say, well, once we see how it right. works out, how it is.
We'll find out once we see all of this project come to fruition. But it also has a lot to do with, you know, what are the kids doing during that time? So if you've got cohorts of kids that are out in the fields and they're in different sections of the field over there, and you're mitigating what you have over here based on what the interests are of the kids, right? After we create this creative space, which we have kind of a blank canvas, we haven't really created it yet, we'll kind of know, and that will be basically Dr. Phelps and his team will know what he wants to do with who he wants to put in the courtyard versus who he wants to put on the field.
So it's not necessarily you'd have 100 kids here and 100 kids over right. there. It could be you have 50 or 30 kids Correct. In this area and then balance over the other area.
What I understand is you could structure the creative space to keep the noisy activities away from the classroom windows that are
active. That's all part of the design of what you would come up with. And generally, though, like we said, it's not like we don't have a model here. If you go to the lower school, you can see the way that it is over there. And those even those big jungle gyms are up against those windows. And they've been that way since the beginning. So we did, you know, and that's why we brought all this information together and we talked to the committee, and the committee unanimously agreed that this is the most functional move for the school. We also are looking at some components for shade. So to Eva's point, we want to make sure that we have a couple of the trees that we're able to retain for shade, but we don't want to create a danger area. Right now, every one of those mounds is dangerous. The pitch isn't we don't have a good pitch out there. There's no borders protecting kids from coming into these areas over here and the bushes and stuff like that.
Around it or do something.
That all of that is part of the plan for that.
Try to figure out how you can incorporate that and still build right. around it, make right. it a safe environment. Any other questions or comments?
I could say with approval, there's a decent chance that the urban farm move can probably be completed before the end of the school year. Ms. Tracy mm-hmm. at the high school has done a lot of legwork on the front end to get the logistics in order once we sort of started going down the path of this being the primary option. So. Pretty exciting.
And you had mentioned some ideas for architectural landscaping that would block the windows, and from a visual perspective, may not be as effective as sound or acoustic treated windows, but that'll do something.
It will, but we honestly have not heard that be a problem, despite the fact we've had more than that amount of kids out here before, bigger kids, even bigger kids than 3 to 5. We've had 6 to 8 kids out there at hundreds at a time, and we haven't gotten this feedback.
Your motion.
So I prematurely motioned earlier because I was in all the discussions with the Fields Project. So I apologize for pre-motioning. So I just needed seconded.
Delayed second.
Thank you.
We'll have no premature motioning in this.
I'm sorry.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried. We're on for the big move.
Goats and chickens are not going to be in my office anymore.
Oh, I'm going to miss them. We're going to miss hearing that chicken, that rooster.
The roosters are
the rooster. That's a little cockeyed.
No stormwater issues, regrading.
It'll only help. I'm a person not ready to talk.
Putting in a million dollar cistern.
Okay, CBMC.
Evan is unavailable to make it tonight, but we did meet earlier and discussed the April monthly report, talked about the final budget, and reviewed P-card transactions. And that'll be the final meeting for CBOC until September. They're taking June, July, and August off.
Good for them.
And picking up back in September.
DE&I, I don't think there was anything there.
Not exactly, but a little bit of an update on the food pantry. We are trying to see if we can have students take over the food pantry. It's more significant if it's run by the students.
That's a great idea.
Done by myself and Nurse Lowe. And we're trying to find space perhaps in building 20 or in the high school. I don't know. We're looking into that.
I think it'd be more impactful that way.
Of course, most definitely.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. The Greek program we heard from. Anything additional, Dr. Ioana? Now, was May the last meeting for the Greek program as well?
Yes, and that was the last meeting for the school year.
Okay, so that will resume in probably October then.
Correct.
Okay. Finance, we heard from. fundraising and development?
Yes, we're starting the planning for the gala, for the fall gala. And Brianna just sent us a meeting. I believe it's for the beginning of June. So we are welcoming people to please come and join us on that one. Let me check really quickly. Was it June 4th, guys?
June 3rd.
June 3rd.
That feels right.
That's a Monday.
It's not coming up on you, but I know I've got a calendar invite for it. So let me look that up really quick because I want to make sure I announce it. I accepted it, but it didn't show up. It's June 6th. Thursday, June 6th at 10 a.m. is the first in-person planning session for the gala. We have already reserved the venue, so it will be once again at the Blue Barn Theater.
That was nice.
Nice. But what we're planning to do is expand it now. We found good success with about a group of 125. Our goal is to try to get to 250 people this time. And I believe that with the accomplishments of the school and the notoriety of the school, we should be able to hit that target this year. Have a really nice event. Hopefully an indoor-outdoor event, kind of both.
So is the event on June 6th or the first meeting?
No, the first meeting to plan this. Okay.
Then the event will
the be event is in September. I don't have the date in front of me, but the save the part of the first event planning will be get the save the date out immediately before people go on vacation so that we can start getting the information out.
Thank you.
The health and wellness fair fundraising, is that over?
I believe at the end of April. Well, the fundraising was open for, I think, 2 weeks after. I think this Friday it ends.
Okay.
Accountability. There hasn't been any meetings. Safety and security. Evan's not. Strategic planning. Thinking of reconstituting that committee. I'll talk about that. PTO. Anyone from PTO? PTO?
Friends thing.
It's special treat with a treat. Special person.
That was fun.
The guys and dolls.
Oh yeah, pearls and
the pearls and guys, dolls dance.
Pearls and
they funded a group that wanted that needed help to get to the BPA's nationals. They're currently working on the project to provide a beautiful sign for our school, for the front of the school. We're going to put together the committee very soon for that. They're currently looking at some contractors to bring us initial bids. What we're looking at is to respect the architecture by using a brick frontage, and then on the inside having, you know, Odyssey Charter School with an LED sign underneath it, more than one line, so you'd be able to announce lots of messages, and it would be in front of 20, so whatever direction you're coming in from, you'd be able to see that you're entering Odyssey Charter School. It's about, is it a $25,000 to $30,000 project?
Mm-hmm.
And that will be PTO funded.
So support the PTO projects.
It is. It's something that I think it's an important thing to note overall. The PTO consistently funds projects at the school across the board. Last year, the year before when we opened up the lower school, remember they paid for the playground for us. They're consistently funding all of these auxiliary programs that we have, the book fairs, the things like that, and they directly give all of their money back to the kids. In whatever capacity we ask. They have a store over here that they run for us too. It's a spirit wear store. If you've seen it, it's fantastic. And they're constantly looking at different ways to fundraise. So not only is it important to support them, but it's also important to participate. And what we're hoping is that through this spirit of volunteerism in Pilotimo right now, that we get some more folks to participate in that component, because it's really, really hard to run an organization like that with just a few volunteers all the time.
Mr. Pappas, if I can jump in, I should also just share that they also support us in our efforts for Teacher and Staff Appreciation Week. And they provide breakfast. I think they fund all of the food that is put out for teachers. And that's a really wonderful week where we give back to our staff. So we appreciate all they've done for that, too.
Any other committees that I don't know about?
Nope, that's all.
Good of the school.
Good of the school for this month. We have a couple exciting things to report back at the Innovation Awards this year and the IDEA Award that happened for the Delaware Charter School Network. Odyssey Charter School was named K-12 Innovator of the Year. And then on our organizational and governance framework, we were named Impact 2 Award that went to Mr. Jeff Koss. And we also won Impact Leader Award of the Year as well, which I don't know who that was for, but I would say that that was the, that's what we call a good old fashioned sweep.
That was definitely
that is.
Well, thank you. Congratulations to Mr. Pappas, Jeff, and to our K-12 program. That was a clean sweep.
That's a nice hat trick.
Yeah, that was congratulations.
That's awesome.
Great job.
We add that to the list of accolades for the year. Desserts come from. Oh, also, we catered the desserts. Odyssey Catering catered the desserts for that event as well. So we appreciate them doing that. It really did demonstrate just how much of a community school we are. It came into full focus in the awards that evening. So it was very heartwarming. To see that as well. And add that to Global Teacher of the Year, Health Professional of the Year. We just had Lori Jones announced as Health Professional of the Year for the Holtz Charter Network as well. Our EFF rating, our refinance, our YAS Prize. I have never been a part of an organization that has been recognized this many times in one year in my entire life. So congratulations to everybody from the board all the way down to every single student and staff member for uplifting this community and making us a top-notch organization.
Well, thank you all for all the
absolutely.
Work you all do. It's hard doing it day in and day out, but somehow our teachers, our staff, top to bottom, you all do a fabulous job. It's an exhausting job. Some days it's a thankless job, but days like this, you know what? It's all proves that we're doing the right thing. Congratulations! Do I have any comments from the board? Anything from the board?
No, just to echo, really incredible recognition and progress. So, congrats, everyone.
Well, that's it for the business of the day. We do have an executive session that we have to climb into. So thank you all for attending. We appreciate your time, and we'll see you next month or the barbecue.
I move we go to executive session.
Start moving.
That was a second.
That was a second.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Thank you. And that's right. Hi, your name?
Thank you.
Nice to meet
thank
you.
Thank you for coming in
person. We appreciate having somebody here in person.
No problem.
That we can talk to, because I kept trying to you know, at least have an audience.
I enjoyed talking, but today I was small, so like, I'm here fine.
Well, thank good. You. Well, thank you. We love having you.
Good.
Thanks all for coming.
Thank you.
Dedicated parent, soccer player parent, OHA parent, like
the whole nine yards.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, thank you, and have a great year.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks.
And we're muted. And
we are back in regular session. We had recommendations and items presented during executive session.
All right, so the first motion to approve the decision as discussed in executive session.
Second. Joel, second?
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, second motion is...
Hold on.
Sorry.
Any abstentions? All in favor, what's after all in favor?
Motion.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Motion passed. Now I can go on the second one.
All right, motion to authorize Jeff Koss to negotiate the real estate agreement as discussed in executive session.
A second.
Richard seconds that one. You can second the next one. Okay. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? I asked that with the last one. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried.
All right. I also have another motion to authorize Jeff Koss to negotiate the other real estate agreement as discussed in executive session.
I think we'll let Erin was doing that one. Since she piped in.
I can second this. Sure.
Yeah. We'll get in on that one. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried.
I move we close the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I don't think any opposed. All right. Motion carried.
Day 20.
Who?
Day 20.
Day 20?
Yeah.
It's the longest one in a while.
Yeah. It's like almost since midnight.